Hello, everyone out there in Tampa Bay and beyond. This is James Knowles coming at you for the RBLR Sports Podcast. I am here tonight to cover the Rowdies like I usually do. And I'm here tonight with my usual co-host, Carlos. Carlos, I feel like I can guess how you're doing right now because there are a lot of storylines coming out of this game, especially for someone with overlapping fanships like yourself. Yeah. But let's just start it off. How are you doing this Tuesday evening?
I'm well. Eloy Room is not. The Rowdies are still in first place after a wild game in Miami, to put it lightly. I'm good.
It does not disappoint.
Yeah, yeah. Fun stuff. We have made a ton of national soccer outlets.
And international.
And international. So it's been fun. I'm good. I'm excited to talk about this game. We'll talk about it in a minute. So it's good. Big game coming up this weekend. We'll talk about that, of course, against Louisville. One of two upcoming games against them. You'll remember this is for league play, and then August 12th, next Wednesday, is for the Prince Tires quarterfinals. So good times. How are you doing, James, before we start talking about that game?
I am also doing well. I was not watching the Miami-Tampa Bay game at the time, even though it seems like it was a really fun one. I had family in town for the Wrexham game. So obviously I went to watch Wrexham, who actually beat Leeds. It's a preseason friendly, so in that sense, it really doesn't matter. But it was still fun to see. Crowd was not that great. So my assumption is just that everybody was not there because they were watching the Rowdies game. And if that's the case, you also saw a very good match, a very good result, a couple of very nice goals, I want to point out, before we even get started here. But yes, anybody who I missed there, I apologize. I did see quite a few Rowdy shirts. I was repping the Sun, and there were a couple of other Sun shirts. So, hey, I was trying to tell this to everybody that I could. If you like soccer, and if you know anybody who likes soccer, whether it's brand new because of the World Cup or if it's a little bit older, and you know, I've seen a lot of tweets recently about I guess I do like this soccer. Who should I support? How do I pick a team especially in the English Premier League? You can support multiple teams, also support your local team. Support your local team like the Tampa Bay Rowdies and the Tampa Bay Sun. So let's get into how the Tampa Bay Rowdies
did shout, last weekend. That's a good rallying cry. I love it. Off the World Cup.
I need to make sure everybody hears that because the number of tweets that I've seen about how do I pick an EPL team just, oh my God, it's honestly frustrating. But like I said, you can support multiple clubs. That's not a problem. But support your local as well. Yeah. So to get into that local team, last weekend, the Rowdies dramatically, very dramatically, beat Miami FC. It probably wasn't supposed to be so dramatic, but it leads to a lot of spectacle, as any World Cup soccer fan will tell you.
Yeah.
Now, coming up this weekend, they take on another rival, Louisville City. We'll talk about that afterwards, obviously. Stay tuned to the end. Like and subscribe to us on YouTube or any major podcast platform. And, of course, please follow us on all your social medias at RBLR Sports. I will get us through the quick recap and turn it over to Carlos, who I'm sure has quite a few words about these goals and about the teams on the field.
I'm not bitter about Eloy Room still, for the record. I know this is what James is implying. I'm over it. But I'm glad that the goals occurred the way they did. Regardless, we'll talk about it. James, take us through what actually happened this past Saturday night at the famous Pitbull Stadium in front of a raucous crowd of however many people were there.
A good little Rowdies corner, I could see. That was good to see.
Good Rowdies corner.
Yeah. So for the quick recap, we'll start with the starting 11, naturally. Jamali Waite was in net behind Isaiah LaFleur, Yanni Lierman, Nathan Dos Santos, and Charlie Ostrom. Keep in mind that Isaiah LaFleur was at right back, possibly something that we'll talk about later. In front of them were Sebastian Cruz, Max Schneider, Luis Perez, Pedro Dolabella, Russell Cicerone as the more attacking midfielders, and MD Myers up top. So the Rowdies went up once and two goals, and then they gave up a red. They conceded twice, and only a couple of minutes later, they scored a winner. It was, as Carlos mentioned, a winner that has made the rounds on a lot of social media. I feel like it was hopefully an ESPN top 10 type of goal. I don't know if that
I
was
didn't
actually
see it.
The case.
Yeah, I didn't look for it, but I feel like when that's happened in the past, it usually shows up on our feed at some point, right? I feel like we would have seen it if it was.
Yes. And along those lines, I hope that it was, I remember this was obviously not a good one, but the Rowdies gave up a goal from the opposite half when they were hosting El Paso last season. If anybody remembers that, it was not good, but I didn't see that on all of the places that I expected to see it. Like, I know that we have the CBS Sports Golazo show. They did not include that on their top 10 goals of the weekend. I don't remember that being on the ESPN top 10. It was surprising, you know, good for Rowdies fans, I suppose, but I hope that this one did make the round. So if anybody is watching and they did catch that, let me know, let us know. And we will point you to the relevant social media there. For a standings update, three crucial points in this race, because we are playing several tough teams in the month of August here. So that gets us on a nice little path forward, hopefully gives us some momentum, even if we do have to deal with at least one suspension. Keeps us top, while OC over out west, Orange County, also hit at least 30 points. In fact, they got up to 31. So in the east, the Rowdies sit on 35. The Battery and Detroit City are on 27. Lou City, 24. Pittsburgh, 23. Rhode Island, 22. Out west, as I said, Orange County are now above 30. They have 31 points. San Antonio sit on 28. Colorado Springs have 25. New Mexico United have 24. Sacramento and Tulsa each have 23. All of us in our own prediction standings got 1 point. Nobody got the 3-2 result. I guess that's not too shocking here.
Yeah, Eureka leads
with 25, Carlos 23, Connor 18, I have 17, and Parker has 15. Connor and Parker are two writers. They're still contributing and doing well in our little race here. But Eureka, not necessarily running away with it, but still on top. Good for him, I guess, if we have to say so. Carlos, let's move into this now. I want to start by breaking this up because obviously I think, as the old saying goes, this was truly a game of two halves. Sure. The Rowdies looked very nice in the first half. In fact, they actually created quite a few chances in the second half. Unfortunately, only one of those went in. But the real issue was going a man down. So let's start with that first half when we weren't a man down. Two goals up until Isaiah LaFleur gets himself sent off.
Give us your
take on this one.
Okay, first half, and this is there's so much to talk about here. I'm going to try and keep my thoughts organized, and so I like how you broke it up first half, second half, and like Eureka said in the comments, if you're watching this live, give us your thoughts too. Maybe you'll remind us of something that we're going to forget about in the next hour or so here. Okay, first half. Quick shout out to Four Courts in Arlington, Virginia. If you're ever looking for a soccer bar, the greatest soccer bar in the country. Nowhere else where I'd be able to get them to put on a Rowdies game on like the main TV bar on a Saturday evening. So shout out to them for throwing this game on the TV. And as I'm sitting down drinking my Guinness with my girlfriend's family, we're chit-chatting. We're waiting for them. They're the FC Cincinnati fans, put on the FCC game on another TV. Rowdies game kicks off. Before I even get a chance to really lock in and watch the game, Rowdies are up 2-0. Quick back-to-back goals. The first goal is a thing of beauty. MD Myers taking the ball up the middle, just a beautiful little poke pass to Cicerone. Miami's back line is so far up for some reason. I don't really get it at this point in the game, like why they're structured the way they are and they're trying to press so high up at the nine minute point of this matchup. I wish like the broadcast was a little bit better because I'm looking back at the goal and it's so zoomed in. MD Myers just draws in so many people as soon as he touches the ball. That's really the only reason I can see Cicerone getting so open. It doesn't make any sense to me. And Myers draws in two midfielders, and then I think that's Knutson, the center back, Dalton Knutson, leaves Cicerone entirely open in the middle. No center backs around. The fullbacks are way away, and Cicerone does his thing. 2-on-1, he could have laid it off to Dolabella as well. He would have had the easiest goal of his life, but slots it in beautifully. Euler could do nothing about it, and he did not stand on his head like he did against Ecuador in the World Cup. Right after that, MD gets involved again, but it's this time as the actual goal scorer. Another moment where Miami's pressing kind of high up, and they get caught out with the Rowdies' quick 1-2 touches. Sebastian Cruz, beautiful. Leaves Knutson kind of in the dust with a little fake pass, finds MD Meyer square, and he just does his thing, puts it bottom left corner. Rowdies look like we're going to run away with this at this point. I feel really comfortable. I'm ready to order another beer, and we're going to call it a day and go up 4 or 5-0 by the time this game's over. And that didn't, that was my like mindset on this game pretty much up until the end of the first half. Right, James, would you agree with me?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I know you're at the Wrexham Leeds game at this point, but like looking at the stats, looking at the numbers, if you're watching this game on TV, if you're the dozen or so Rowdies fans that were at this game in Miami, you're probably as comfortable as you've been in a while. Miami doesn't really have any chances in that first half, and then we just get a little careless right at the end of the half. They have a bit of space. A lot of Rowdies players kind of standing around ball watching. Maybe De La Bella gets a little bit careless swinging into that ball with his right foot. I don't actually know the Miami play that goes in and draws the penalty, but pretty easy for him to do that, to just kind of like dive into De La Bella's leg as yes. he's kicking. It's a penalty. It's soft. It's annoying, but it is what it is. And then Rocha buries that. So by the end of the first half, you're like, okay, we're going into this halftime up 2-1. Should be 2-0. You're pretty annoyed at giving up that penalty, but you still feel pretty good about your chances going into the second half. And then what happens, James? This is what you're talking about. This is what I don't understand, and I can't really wrap my mind around it.
It's a really weird decision.
Yeah, okay. So LaFleur at some point earlier on in the half gets a yellow card, which I can't remember exactly what happened. It was for a tackle of some sort. I don't remember it being like super dramatic or super yellow card worthy. Unmemorable entirely. But he has a yellow card, right? Whether it's the right decision in that first half or not, that first yellow card doesn't really matter. Kind of irrelevant to at this point in the game. End of the stoppage time, 50th minute in the first half still. Doesn't matter what that yellow card came from in the first part of the game. The fact that LaFleur kind of wraps up this Miami player, number 7, is that who it is? I can't actually think of who it was.
Mason Tonbridge.
Tonbridge, yeah. Tonbridge is on the ball. He beats LaFleur. There is space for Tonbridge to run down the wing at that point, but he's got support. I don't really see why LaFleur kind of wraps him up the way he does and draws a stupid foul.
And if I'm not mistaken, within that moment, there is another green and gold jersey like within 5 feet of them.
Yeah.
And obviously they're in the Miami half. You know, if you're going to do something like this, expecting that you might get a yellow card, expecting then obviously that you might get sent off, I think that anybody in their right mind would say, there are so many steps in between me and him scoring a goal that I'm going to let this one go.
Yeah, I certainly see the danger in the counterattack that was coming, but it was by no means a surefire thing. Like that the counterattack would even happen, let alone that it would turn into a goal, right? Yeah, I don't really get it. I think it was a dumb decision, unfortunately, from him, especially knowing you're on your yellow card. But it's one of those things in the heat of a moment where it's like, okay, I just got beat. I know there's a counterattack coming. I'm going to wrap him up. Maybe it just slipped his mind and got a yellow card. Entirely possible. But that's really the only reason I could think for that. Because
yes.
Obvious foul, obvious stopping of a counterattack. Referees going to give a second yellow every time. Or a yellow every time, regardless of whether it's a first or second, right? Made it really easy for him to send LaFleur off. Super unfortunate because I really liked what he has done in his limited minutes with the Rowdies so far. Of course, he is over here on loan, reinforcing the back line a bit. But that wasn't in the game plan to go down to 10 players, obviously. It looked like after that, Cruz kind of slots back into the right back spot that LaFleur was in. And then there's some adjustments in the midfield. I don't know. I can't really make it out at that point. Kind of turned into 4 midfielders. MD Myers still kind of remained up top as the main striker. And that's the end of the first half. Those adjustments obviously come in the second half because the red card comes right as the first half's about to end. So all that to say, we go into halftime up 2-1, should have been 2-0, and it shouldn't have been down a man, right? Like kind of dumb. Silly moments of losing focus from us that put Miami back into the game. I will say the entire second half was actually pretty impressive given where we were. 10 players. Miami knows that they need to come out and score. I thought we were structured really well and played some great soccer to just keep the ball in front of us. Dolabella almost scored. I'm looking back at the highlights now. Fun fact, the numbers say that we had more big chances in the second half than we did in the first half.
Interesting.
So we had four big chances in the second half with 10 players. In the first half, we had two, and we scored both of them.
So better efficiency in the first half, despite lesser numbers.
Right. Second half, more big chances, missed three of them, put one of them away. I guess they considered Eloy Room all the way out of the goal a big chance. Weird FOTMOP numbers. Regardless, the eye test kind of validates those numbers. You watch second half, we had a number of chances, particularly like towards the end of the game, when Miami's pushing up really high. Lacadia comes in. Obviously, he gets a goal in the 76th minute. By the way, he's been on fire. We talked about him being on fire going into this game.
Yeah,
I'm surprised he didn't start. Maybe they were just kind of like giving him a half to rest up before they bring him in the second half after playing a weekday game earlier on in the week on Wednesday in Colorado Springs, I believe. Guy's been on fire, continues to be on fire. He's a World Cup striker for a reason. He scored in the 76th minute off of a little opening in the Rowdies' back line there.
I think that might have been the biggest instance where we saw that the Rowdies were down a man.
Yeah, I mean, other than that, like, we looked good. Like, we were on the ball a lot, actually, for being down a man. We kept the ball in front of us, even when Miami did have the ball. 66th minute, MD Myers header. It goes wide off of a free kick. In the highlights, it's funny how they include Micheletto being subbed in as a highlight. Makes sense for the goal he's about to score later on. Lacadia scores that goal, whatever. I mean, I'm not too pressed about it. It's just the price of being down 10 men for an extended period of time. Eventually, it was going to happen, especially with a team that's been scoring as much as Miami in the past few games, particularly Lacadia. They're up a man. They're at home. Not that that fears anything crazy, but they know they're going to try and push everything forward. Unfortunate. But again, obviously the Micheletto goal is like the highlight of the game. But what impressed me even beyond that was, like I said, the opportunities while we were on 10 men. I was almost annoyed at the fact that we were still pushing so many people forward. I was like, just stay behind the ball after the Micheletto goal, take the points. We'll defend and like well enough to get out of here with 3 points. But man, like, there were good looks. MD Myers had a shot that was eventually saved by Eloy Room. He was point blank from the left side of the field and just kind of got a tough angle on himself. I was impressed with that part. And I'm skipping the Micheletto goal for the moment, but I was impressed with how many chances we had to put the game away with 10 players. If we had 11 players, I would have been a little bit more upset about our lack of, like, clinicalness. Is that a word? We've talked about
this. Make it a word.
Dominic Cacciato mentions it regularly in the past few weeks, is our sometimes struggle to kill off a team, right? And I guess you could see some of that in this game, especially with the chances that happened in the second half. But we're also down to 10 players, so I'm willing to excuse it a little bit, right? Okay. All that being said, of course, Rowdies go on to win this one 3-2 after the chaos of everything that happened in these 90 minutes. The Micheletto goal was beautiful. It made all the social medias. Charlie Ostrom switches it to him on a little bit of a counterattack. He had MD Myers streaking up the left side as well. Like, that would have been a good option to potentially create a good opportunity on goal. But evidently, he sees something we don't, which is Eloy Room way off his line. Chips him beautifully. Eloy being at the top of the box as the ball enters his half is insane, by the way. He's just starting to run back as the ball is kicked, and when it pans to him, he's still at the top of the box. That's crazy. Anyway, I'm not bitter about him going off against Ecuador. I'm happy that he was particularly the goalie. I'm saying that wrong. But I think it's funny, and I'm glad it was a highlight-worthy goal to win this game. Insane. Good for Micheletto. The guy's insane. He's so much talent. He's been coming off the bench recently and just always produces something. So not shocked that it was him that put it away. Shocked at how it went in, sure. pretty, pretty cool. Okay. That's the entirety of this game. What do you want to focus on here, James? Because there's so much that's happened. You did the quick recap. I just kind of went in, did some of the detail. There's so much to talk about, I feel. So many storylines, obviously, the Micheletto half-field goal. Defensively, so sound in the second half, with the exception of the Locadia goal, of course. Let's start with this, James. Let me ask you, did we deserve to win this game? I feel like that's something you put in our notes here. I'm like, worthy winners? I'm like, that's an interesting question. I'm going to go with yes. I think we dominated the entire first half, made a couple mistakes, and just gave Miami an opportunity that they otherwise shouldn't have had to be back in this game. Second half, I think we outplayed Miami with 10 players. Confidently, I'm going to say we deserve to win this game. And I'm happy we got 3 points, obviously. Even in the games we don't deserve to win, I'm going to say we deserve to win and want 3 points. So I'm going to answer that question off the rip. Was there something in this game that made you think otherwise? For including the question in our notes, worthy winners here. Is there something you didn't like that made you feel like Miami maybe deserved a bit more?
It's not necessarily that Miami deserved a bit more here, but what I always come to in a goal like this, you know, it is an opportunistic goal, but it's also it's something that you see and you take advantage of, just like you would in any other position on the field. But yeah, it's also a bit of a fluke. So to get ourselves 3 points out of this one, I would say is we did better and we earned it in terms of the XG that you had mentioned, obviously, the expected goals. But you could also make the argument that we got a little bit lucky with this. And I sure. would say that we did get a little bit lucky with this.
Sure.
But
I would like 100%. That's I think the only criticism I would have is what we've been talking about, again, for a month, month and a half, 2 months. We don't blow teams out as much as we maybe should for the talent and for the chances yeah. to create. A lot of missed opportunities, especially towards the end of games when we can really put teams away. It's come back to bite us in the past, in the not too distant past, right?
Yeah.
Connor dropped that in the YouTube comments, and we're live right now agreeing. Rugby King 1540, not to dox you, Connor, but agreed, right? Like, there's a ton of chances, and maybe because of that we could say Miami deserved a bit more, but I don't even know if that's I don't know if I would say it was a fluke win because of how many chances we had.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
And that's kind of what I would like to see.
Yeah.
MD Myers created the first goal with his lovely turn and play through. That was honestly, that was one of, you know, I mean, insane. It's a goal. So
yeah,
fantastic. That's one of the like little plays of the game. That's where one of the things hinge. Yeah. That was perfect. So that wasn't based on Miami not, you know, providing him enough space. He created his space. That was MD Myers doing fantastic stuff. In and of him on his own in that moment to lay it off for Russell Cicerone.
Yeah.
And then the little interchange that led to Sebastian Cruz being able to run down the field, provide He's the assist so to MD Myers.
Yeah.
Those are both very nice goals. The buildup to both of them was like high level. That's not necessarily, I don't know if this is the right phrasing, but that's not necessarily something you'd expect to see in any given game in the USL championship. It was very nice stuff. The twist to beat somebody, the passes to beat a couple of players on the second one, both passes through to Russell Cicerone and in to MD Myers. Both of those goals were lovely. Yeah. However, while we're on the subject, I do want to highlight MD Myers unfortunately hit the post from a tough angle, to be totally fair. I think he had the space to still put that one in the net. Hitting the post, you know, that's as close as you can get, right? And that's as close as you can get without scoring. But there was a second one later on where he absolutely could have iced the game 4-2. Ended.
Yeah.
No. And then that was a goal that you would expect him to put in. He did not put that one in. So that's something that I did want to highlight here. On the other side of things, defensively, I think that the Rowdies they played relatively well. But the issue there ultimately was, Isaiah LaFleur started it right back. And I don't think that uncomfortability was the reason that he gave up a red card, but it should be noted that he's not usually right back. The Rowdies named Dion Acuff on the bench.
That was interesting.
Our right back starter for many games this season, of course. Gennaro Nigro, another natural left back, came on at halftime. And then, they switched things around so that we could have people who are a little bit more assured as right backs playing in that position. But obviously that means, in my eyes, Dion Acuff is not fit enough to actually come off the bench, right? So that's an issue here. And Carlos, you and I have talked about, unfortunately, even though, honestly, going into this season and for much of this season so far, I thought that we were really good on depth because of the versatility of so many of the players that we have here. But at the moment, we do not have, seemingly, a right back who's capable of starting. Sebastian Cruz has played right back, and I'm assuming that if this is the situation we're in next week, this upcoming week, he'll probably be there again. But Isaiah LaFleur starting and Dion Acuff doesn't make it off the bench when we also have him sent off. That, that's telling for me that he's just not ready to go. And then we gave up a goal in the second half after the silly penalty that we had given up right before that red card.
Yeah.
With somebody just in acres of space. Somebody was in acres of space. They were able to turn, find another player who then ultimately found Locadia. So I think that that is partially, at least, a consequence of not having enough players on the field. So I think that the Rowdies played extremely well in the attacking end. I think that especially down a man, for us to be able to do everything that we were doing and create all of these extra chances, the two from MD Myers that we probably could have scored on, another one that I'm forgetting from a different player. I think maybe it was Dolabella, but there were multiple opportunities that we really could have iced this game before they scored their second goal, after they scored their second goal, after we had our third goal. There were a lot of times that we could have scored here, and that means that we are doing a lot correct. But it's just something to note that maybe Miami should have been a little bit more out of this game, let's say.
Yeah. Yeah. Dolabella definitely had one good look you could have put away. Good shout, Connor. Agree. I was going to make a point. Oh, MD Myers. You mentioned MD Myers having a couple good opportunities to shoot. He could have had a hat trick with some of the great, great looks he had.
But it's hard to be mad with somebody with an assist, a goal and an assist, but
and on top a
3-2 win,
On top of that, but beyond that, MD's been in a little bit of a tough stretch. He started off on fire. If you remember, he's come off the bench, scored two games in a row, then got quiet a little bit, was playing on and off, came off the bench again a little bit. Then he picked it up again. Miami, Phoenix, Louisville, Sporting Jacks, he was scoring, 2, 3, 4, 5 goals in 5 games. Earlier on this summer. After that, it got a little quiet for him. His last goal before this one was against Brooklyn, June 20th. It was a penalty. So before that, his last open field goal was June 6th against Sporting Jacks. So it'd been well over a month since MD had been able to find the back of the net in open play. We obviously know he's insanely talented. He's one of the best strikers in the league. So I was really particularly happy that he got on the score sheet early. Obviously, would have wanted him to score a bit more with the opportunity he did get. But the fact that he got on the score sheet, I think, was huge for the Rowdies, obviously, in this game. But I think for the Rowdies
overall
season as large, right? As you enter this back portion of the year, you want your star players kind of firing on all cylinders. The Rowdies' attack has still been good, regardless of MD's kind of slow patch over the last month or so. The Rowdies' attack has still been firmly on fire. And if you can get MD Myers to pick it up again like he was earlier on this summer, I think you're in business in the attack, even more so than you already were.
Right.
Cicerone kind of in the same boat, by the way. He hadn't scored a ton of goals this year. Last goal he scored was also against Brooklyn. That was only his third goal. This week he scored his fourth goal. Again, he's had, I feel like he's a player in my mind that has stood out as having a number of opportunities to score over the past month and a half, 2 months. And maybe just wasn't finding the back of the net. It just wasn't happening. So those two guys in particular to find the score, to get on the score sheet that early in this game, was really, really, really exciting for me. Again, not just for this game, but for the rest of the year. And MD Myers, of course, getting involved with the assist to Cicerone as well. That's awesome. So, yeah, obviously would have liked them to score a bit more because we had such clear looks. But for the season at large, I think this is a good sign, at least in the attack, about what's going on. What else was I going to say? Obviously, Leland Archer still wasn't available. Don't really know what the injury actually is, but we know he got subbed off in like the second minute a few weeks ago. I forgot, what was that, the game against Naples?
Was it the game against Naples, because Dos Santos came in. I remember he was subbed in a cup game.
Yeah, so Dos Santos comes in, plays with Learman, and that's been the pair now for the past three games. Past three games. Didn't start that way for Naples, but quickly turned into that for Naples. So let's say three games in a row now with Learman and Dos Santos as your back line pair. Defensively, I think we were generally okay. We were good. I'm just thinking about the game last week against Loudon. We had some shaky moments on the back line. Ultimately, it led to a goal for Loudon in the 82nd minute to equalize. I'm not super sold on our kind of makeshift back line at the moment yet. Obviously, you have a great test this weekend. We'll talk about this game coming up. Louisville is insanely talented in the attack. They've scored 26 goals. We've scored 28 for comparison. They've played one game less. They're up there with only Charleston ahead of both of us with 32 goals. They're third in the East right now in goals scored. Alternatively, that's not the right term, but on the flip side, they've conceded 25, right? So it could be a high-scoring game. I'm not going to be super concerned about our attack's ability to get on the score sheet, and I'm getting into the preview a little bit here.
I think that's fair. Yeah.
But more importantly, how is our back line that is still kind of being tested right now going to hold up?
Yeah.
You're going to have to change something again because LaFleur is not going to be available, which, again, I think dumb decision. And it's really frustrating because I like what he was doing on the field in his limited minutes with the team so far. Ostrom on fire. This might be a good opportunity, by the way, to shout out that Ostrom and MD Myers were both on the team of the week this week. So shout out to them. Round of applause. So I love Ostrom on the left side. Let's keep going with that. That's great. Dos Santos is a great defender. We're just kind of trying to see how this center back pairing gels with Learman, who, again, hasn't played much for this season up until 2 weeks ago. At the right back spot, obviously you said Akoff was on the bench. Maybe he's available. I don't know. He was obviously available for selection this week. And just didn't come off the bench. When he has played, he's been really, really good. If he's available, great. If not, who do you throw out there? Maybe Nigro? He's a left back, I know, but it seemed – I didn't actually notice, and I should have paid attention to this in the second half when I went back to look. But he's a fullback. Maybe he can switch over to the right side for a bit. Maybe he was playing some minutes over there this weekend. I don't know. Don't hate me because I don't remember. But we have a couple fullback options. It's just going to be different, right? Something to take away from this game, though, in the way of the fullback, in the way of the back line, is that – it held up, right? All things considered, conceding one goal down a player for an entire half is not a terrible outcome, especially considering that LaCadia was on the field and he's just been on fire. I don't hate that at all, really. Penalty, let's throw that away, right? It sucks. It was bad luck, and it's just a moment of falling asleep as a team collectively.
Yeah,
we conceded one real goal in this game. And I think it's fixable. I think that's a fixable one. So I'm curious to see how it holds up this weekend. Back to Miami, I think it held up fine. Bend but don't break, right? That's the thing. That's something people say. And I think we did that perfectly with 10 players. So there's a lot to like in this game. Obviously, some things you want to adjust, right? You want to score more goals. You want to not go down to 10 players so early in a game.
Ideally.
But and if you can work in a wonder goal every once in a while from a guy like Micheletto, fantastic. But overall, James, I'm really happy with how this game went by the end of it. Maybe not like kind of in that middle portion of the game, and I'm stressing out, and Miami, by our own silly mistakes and decisions, we let Miami back into the game. We just have to kill teams off. That's all we got to do. You take that lead, like, keep going, you know, pedal to the metal. But maybe not like all the way down, because then you make dumb decisions, right?
Yeah.
So put teams away. Miami's not a bad – and by the way, Miami's been playing good soccer. We said this going into this week, right?
Yes, absolutely.
They lost to Colorado Springs, which is always a tough place to play. Before that, they're blowing out Sarasota Paradise. They beat a really good Indy 11 team who's been towards the top of this conference all year.
Also
recently started dropping. Yeah.
I believe that they were the first team at least to beat Indy at home in Indianapolis.
Did they really? They played in Miami recently. Did they play against Indy earlier on this year?
Perhaps I'm mixing things up, but I believe if that was the game, then they were the first team to beat Indy at home.
I think you might have gotten it backwards, but I trust you. I'm looking on Fop Mob. Maybe Fop Mob's off sometimes. Regardless, they're playing good soccer, right? So all that being said, we could have blown them out, like, by a lot, you know? So if you're blowing out teams that have been playing good soccer, you're going to just keep up the intensity when you play against these good teams coming up, like Louisville again, Orange County in between that. And you can beat anybody in this league. I mean, I love how we're playing, James. There's just silly mistakes that we can fix, like, internally. And I know these guys know that. There's going to be some things to figure out in the back line, obviously. So I hope we kind of stabilize things back there. But everywhere else, things are still clicking, and it's great to see. I love it. Connor says Micheletto should start against Louisville City. Thoughts on that?
I mean, I think that's something for especially for our preview, but I could
think about it. When we get to the preview, we'll flesh it out a little bit
more. Yeah, I can understand where he's coming from there.
Okay, that's the Miami game. I mean, it was a lot. It was intense. It was action-packed. It was headline-worthy. By the way, Detroit dropped this weekend as well. They had a home game against Las Vegas, who is not doing too great right now.
No.
They were in 11th, but with back-to-back wins against – actually, they won three in a row now, including an away win in San Antonio, who's the second best team in the West right now. And then they beat Detroit, who was in third place. At the time, they were in second place, away to Detroit. So maybe Las Vegas has found something, because they just beat two of the best teams in the league away from home. Regardless, that's a game you expected Detroit to win. That helps our cause because they've dropped now a little bit. We're 8 points clear of our second place peers, Charleston and Detroit. Detroit has a game in hand, so I don't know. Give it to them and assume we're at least 5 points ahead. Good spot to be in at this point in the year. But plenty of difficult games coming up. But that's what happened this weekend. That helped us out. Thank you, Las Vegas. And thank you, Colorado Springs, as well, for beating Charleston, keeping them at 27 points. Those are our closest peers. Louisville also dropped. Well, this was the week before. Their most recent game was a loss to Pittsburgh. And they were off this week. So things helping – other teams helping us out. With the teams chasing us in second, third, fourth, and fifth place. Miami game, that's done. Anything else to add?
Other than our man of the match, I am all out of talking.
Okay. This one is an easy one for me. I'm going to start us off, and I think you might agree with me. I'm going to go, of course, with – I don't even care that he came on as a sub. I really don't. It doesn't matter. Marco Micheletto scoring the wonder goal to throw us into 3 points is just insane. So he's going to be my man of the match. James, do you want to say your man of the match?
Also, Marco Micheletto. If you want to put this one out there now, producer Eureka, but Connor wrote, in my opinion, Marco needs to start against Lou City. Yeah, well, you can score from halfway, and I think that you earn a lot with that. You can earn a potential starting point. You can earn, hopefully, like I said, ESPN top 10. Yep. Hopefully, CBS Colosso Network top 10. Mm-hmm. I guess I missed that this week. But, yeah, he earned a lot with that goal. And a start is probably among those things. I think that was fantastic, obviously. And three points is awesome in this case.
Yeah. Dolabella has been getting a lot of run in that kind of attacking mid spot. And I love Dolabella. Like, he is awesome. I've talked to him, like, in person, just on a personal level a number of times. He's awesome. He's been playing a lot of soccer. If you want to start Micheletto, it'd be cool if you can squeeze Dolabella and Micheletto onto the field at the same time, but it feels like they play kind of both around where you want them to play. You know what I mean? I didn't say that right. They're in a similar position, right?
Yeah.
You could throw Dolabella out wide. He's played out there a number of times and done well. And I think that's how maybe you get your best players out there. But Perez has been comfortable on the wing. Cicerone's been more comfortable on the wing as the season's progressed. Perez in particular has been kind of a revelation on the wing.
Yeah, he's done
very well. Yeah, I'm a little quiet for us, but just because maybe we're down to 10 players, has had a slightly quieter month than he had earlier on in the year. But I don't know if I take him out of the game yet. He's so good. So interesting decisions coming up, and we'll talk about it. We'll put ourselves in Dom's shoes and maybe think about what we would do. Important month coming up. Good shout, Connor. Important month. We'll talk about it in a second. Before then, I'm going to do a shameless plug to advertise our RBLR Sports shop online. Liking, subscribing to the podcast, it's free, and we love when you do it. But if you want to support the pod just a little bit more, you can head over to shop.rblrsports.com and use promo code COYR. COYR. For 10% off everything on the website. Good stuff, cool designs. Get some cool gear to support all your fan-based sports teams. And make it happen. Go get some gear, and you have two opportunities to back-to-back against Louisville at home to rep some RBLR sports gear at the stadium. Okay, big month coming up. I'm going to shout out Connor's comment again. You got Louisville twice. Of course, Louisville, direct rival, always just as a club, but of course at the top of the table every year. Coming up this Saturday, it's a game we're going to talk about. Then you have them again August 12th for the Prince Tires quarterfinal, Prince Tires Cup quarterfinal. In between that, you're going away to Orange County SC, who USL says is the best team in the league at the moment, in the power rankings. Was it USL or was it John that said that? I think it was John Morris in USL Tactics that said Orange County is playing the best soccer in the league right now. And I don't know if I could argue with them. They're in first place out west. We're first place in the league by a little bit. But going away over there is going to be so, 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 so tough. They've only dropped two all year. And I believe actually one of those was at home in cup play. League play, one of them was also at home. Anyway, regardless, they only lose every so often. That's going to be a tough, tough game. And then, of course, what's the other August game? Then you're going away to Detroit, which, of course, is a direct rival at the top of the East right now. I think if you win that game, you kind of get out of range of them. But there's other teams competing towards the top. And, of course, away to Pittsburgh as well to close out the month, who is in the top five currently. So, long-winded way of saying we're about to begin one of the toughest runs of soccer for this team. All season. We had a pretty good run of soccer earlier on in the year, some tough travel away to New Mexico, tough opponents after that. I think that was like that Charleston stretch as well. Like, there's been tough stretches of soccer for this team. The good news is that it's mostly spaced out. The exception is, of course, that Wednesday game with Louisville on August 12th, midweek game, sandwiched in between the away game to Orange County and another home game back at home against Rhode Island.
Right.
So, decent amount of travel, particularly out west. Let's start off on a strong foot. Let's start this stretch of really tough, really important games on the right foot with this league game this week against Louisville City. Long-winded intro to get into this game, but it's a big, big month. Okay. This Saturday night, 8 p.m., the Rowdies will take on Louisville City at Al Lang Stadium. This game is a nationally broadcast one. That's why it's kind of a weird time. I'll tell you exactly what channel it's on. ESPN2. So take that into consideration when you're deciding how to watch this game. If you're outside of the Tampa Bay area, if you're inside the Tampa Bay area, you better be at the game. Of course.
Yes.
James, I believe there's a hot dog deal going on. Do you remember what that is? What's the deal going on over there? $3.
So the Rowdies had, I'm assuming, I don't know this, like this isn't confirmed that this is the reasoning, but my assumption obviously is July 4th, the, beer and hot dog specials did so well that they are bringing those back. So $3 beer and $1 hot dogs for the whole evening.
Wow.
Pretty good. Pretty good, folks. If that doesn't, honestly, if that doesn't bring you in, July 4th, you know, everybody wants to eat a hot dog. I'm assuming everybody also wants to eat a hot dog every
on August 1st. August 1st. It's a great day, too. Yeah, obviously a massive game. Take the specials into consideration as well.
I hope also that it's a like bring people in after the World Cup deal or whatever. Yeah, but yes, let's tell people, tell anybody,
everyone,
World Cup. Hey, we got this soccer. Come see the Rowdies. Hot dogs, beer, everything. Yeah. Tell everybody. Yeah. We have to get people to this game.
Yeah, it's going to be a huge game. Like I said, Louisville is in fourth place on 24 points. They're, I wouldn't say like in immediate danger of catching up, but you don't want to drop any points with how well Detroit and Charleston in particular have been playing. You don't want to give them an opportunity to get back into this title race, especially knowing that you have a six-pointer against Detroit coming up later this month. Screw it. This game against Louisville is a six-pointer. They're not impossibly behind either. They have a game in hand, and they're 11 points away, right? So they're in the mix still, for sure. Big, big game, big, big rival. Not in like a I hate you Louisville kind of way, but in like a we've had great, great games against this team. So I don't doubt this will be another good game. Hopefully it's because we win like 8-0. But it's going to be a huge, huge game. Again, nationally televised, ESPN2. You're going to be on TV. Go to the stadium. Record it on your DVR or YouTube TV. Add it to your list in your library. Record it. See yourself on the TV. It'll be awesome. It'll be a good time. Like James said, bring out everybody you know. There's still a link available for a free first game ticket on the Rowdies website. So keep that. Go check that out as well. If you've never been to it, well, I'm assuming if you're listening to this, you have. But send it to one of your friends who hasn't been to a game, right? Just plenty of opportunities to get out to your first game or your 15th or your 30th or your 100th, right? Get out. It'll be a huge, huge, huge opportunity. Okay. All that being said, we know Louisville has not been the club that we've come to know and loathe at different points in the year. They've struggled at different moments in the year, and then they've picked it up again at different moments in the year. I think they're kind of in the middle of a mixed bag. Earlier on this year, they were in like a struggle bus for a minute, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they were losing 5 out of 6 games, winning one game against Union Omaha. If you take out that game against a lower division opponent, they lost 5 games in a row, plus a draw after that. And it's not really Louisville's standard. Now they're in more of a mixed bag. In their last 3, they won against Hartford 1-0, decent team in Hartford. And they won against Lexington at home in that rivalry game they have with them, 4-2 in the USL Cup. Their most recent game, like I said, was over 10 days ago, last weekend. Like, not this weekend, like this past, like last weekend. I don't know how, you know what I'm saying, James. It was July 18th against Pittsburgh away. They lost that one. Obviously, Pittsburgh always a tough place to play. So mixed bag of results. Before that, it was 2 draws in a row, including a home draw against Brooklyn, who we know is a really not good team. They found something for a little bit, and then they maybe dropped it against Pittsburgh. Keep an eye on, and before we even dive into like the team itself, I just think this is an important note. If you're listening to this live, tomorrow at 7:30 p.m., Louisville plays Birmingham Legion at home. I think that's going to tell us a lot about where this team is at the moment, because Birmingham is not very good. Birmingham's struggling. They can't really figure it out. and they're going away to Louisville, which, as we know, is always a tough place to play.
Yes.
This should be a game where Louisville kind of reestablishes itself, right? 2-3-0 win, 3-1 win maybe, since they always concede a goal. I'm curious to see how tomorrow goes, and I think it'll tell us a bit about how they'll be for Saturday. Beyond that, it's a game they have to play, a real competitive game. They need all the points they can get. They're going to go all in, and hopefully that tires them out by the time Saturday rolls around, which is great. I love that. Tire out their back line, let us score even more. But I think it's a game they should win pretty comfortably tomorrow, 7:30 p.m., Birmingham Legion. If you listen to this when we drop it recorded tomorrow, it'll be today at 7:30 p.m. Encourage you to watch it. Let's kind of like get some scouting in from the fans.
Yeah, get a feel for them.
Get a feel for them. Yeah, I think it'll be a really, really telling game to see if they've like, they have the confidence, they have the Louisville home field advantage that's been so dominant for so many years. Do they have that, right? And if they do, they should take care of Birmingham comfortably. And if not, let's pounce on them while they're down, right? Either way, great matchup coming up this Saturday. James, I'm rambling a bit here. Do you want to tell us a little bit about who we need to keep an eye out for, who makes up this team that's currently in fifth place with, again, 24 points from 16 games? Who do we got to keep an eye out for?
That is a possibility here. So Danny Foundas is likely to start in net behind, more recently, at least it has been, Kevin Lambert, Sean Toch, and Kyle Adams. Keep in mind who Kevin Lambert is. Very good player across the USL Championship for several years. Sean Toch is a real veteran in this league as well.
Yeah.
He's going to be an important player for them for the rest of the season, probably the next 2-3 seasons, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
He's just a good player. They have been doing this three back with four in front of them, and either consider it like a 3-4-3, 3-4-2-1 kind of deal, but roughly the same formation, obviously. So those three at the back. Sam Gladel, Zach Duncan, Taylor Davila, and somebody at left back, most likely Amadou Dia. They should be starting in the midfield behind Jansen Wilson, Jake Morris, and Chris Donovan up top. Jake Morris, however, might play as the left wing back instead of Amadou Dia. And up top, then we might instead see Ray Serrano or Mukwele Akale. Both of them have started more recently as attacking players when Morris dropped back into the left wing back spot. If anybody cares about this information, Jake Morris is actually a Florida native, brother of U.S. Men's National Team player Aiden Morris, who is at Middlesbrough right now. So just a fun little factoid there. But yeah, Morris will either play as the left wing back, or if they want to go with Dia there, he will move higher up more than likely and contribute to the attack. Jansen Wilson, that attacking player who is on the other side of the field, more right wing. He has 6 goals on the season, while Chris Donovan has 4. Donovan and Davila lead with 4 assists each. Now, the latter is their big chance creator, Taylor Davila, and he is another very good player in this team. He, I believe, has been at least a USL MVP nominee, if not a winner in the past. They're going to have a lot of play going through Zach Duncan as the kind of number 6 midfield destroyer, and then Taylor Davila is the guy who tries to set everything up. And he is going to look for players who are making runs into positions from those kind of half spaces. So half spaces are going to be right inside the wings, the areas that are the wings, and then right at the edge of the top of the box. So at the left of the top of the box and at the right of the top of the box, that's where the attacking players behind the striker Chris Donovan are going to try to line up, and that is where Taylor Davila is going to try to find them. So they have not been doing as well defensively in all of these games, although I think a little bit more recently they have shored things up. And then attacking wise they're probably not doing as well there overall either, and hence they are a little bit farther down the table than we might expect to see from Louisville City. Make no mistake, of course, this is still going to be a tough team, and they always step it up when they play against the Tampa Bay Rowdies. They always do the way that we always step it up when we play against them. We cannot be overconfident in this game. In all honesty, I don't think that there's much of a – I really don't think that there's too much of a likelihood of us being overconfident here.
Yeah.
I think that the locker room knows how to keep their head. I think that the coaching staff especially knows how to put players in the right space. And you know, the only thing that really has been a problem recently has been the a couple of slow starts, but I doubt that this is going to have a slow start for us, or going to be a slow start for us, because I think that everybody's going to have it in mind what we're up against here. Additionally, of course, we play them soon, just as we've mentioned a couple of times. So there is the added factor here. It's just like, I don't know, I think I mentioned this previously, possibly last week, but last season or the season before, we played Birmingham Legion twice in 1 week, both times at home. Yeah. One of them was in the US Open Cup, and then one of them was in the league. Enzo Martinez was on that team, so it was always going to be feisty. And I think that added to it. But when you play somebody so quickly, you're going to have the memory of those little battles that you see all over the field. All of those are going to be very fresh in the players' memories. And I think that that's going to be a part of this game, because they know that there is another one coming up. So whatever this result is, it does matter, obviously, but I wouldn't say that that is a more important game. It's just a knockout game in a cup competition. So there's that factor to it. But again, all of these little battles all over the field, they're going to build up and build up, because they know that they have another 90 minutes in a couple of days anyway. So just keep that in mind. I think that there is going to be a little bit of pre-rivalry within what I think is probably a larger rivalry. Yeah. And yes, the game that they have against Birmingham this Wednesday, or if you're listening to it when it comes out today, hopefully they are a little more tired than we are. Hopefully they're there's a little less gas in the Louisville tank than the Rowdies tank.
100%. Yeah, it'll be a fascinating game, as it always is. Yeah, I'm excited. By the way, when we go away to Orange County leading up to the home game against Louisville, on Prince Tires Cup, on that Wednesday, that weekend before, we're away to Orange County. Louisville's at home against San Antonio that weekend. So two really big games for both clubs right before another big game, being the Prince Tires quarter finals. It'll be really interesting. They have a big month themselves, because they're also going away to Orange County right after they play us in the Prince Tires quarter, Prince Tires Cup quarterfinals. I'm just going to say cup quarterfinals. It's easier. So Louisville has a really big stretch coming up this week as well. That Birmingham back-to-back was so crazy. If you remember that Open Cup game where we were up 3 goals, let them back into it. Arteaga scores the winner with a bicycle kick, like a scissor kick in the overtime. Hopefully a little bit less dramatic, and we just take care of business both times against Louisville. But let's start on the right foot. Let's start strong. You got to start somehow. Let's make sure it's with a win this weekend. Keep building the momentum. Throw away the last couple home league games away and just go take care of business. I think we're a better team. I think we're playing better. However, like we said, Louisville scores a lot of goals. It's a ridiculously talented team still. I'm sure they will figure it out at some point, and they have figured it out for spurts of the season. I hope it's not this weekend, and I think we'll be able to take care of it again, just like we did away to Louisville earlier on this year. Let's go for a sweep. James, I'm going to lead off our predictions. I think we've talked a little enough, right? I'm going to go with a 2-1 win after all of that. It's going to be an interesting game. I think our defense will play well enough to generally stop this Louisville attack. I think we're scoring enough to get at least 2 goals. So I'm going to go with 2-1. We're going to get a win and start this month of August off on the right.
I would like that. I would definitely like us to get a win here in this one, and I am going to go with a win as well. A 3-2 win. It's probably less likely since we just had a 3-2 win, but I have been changing. I don't know if you've seen, Carlos, but I've been changing my score prediction for this whole recording, and I think that that's the one that I'm going to stick with here. Our producer Eureka has gone with a 1-1 draw. Our writer Parker has gone with a 1-0 win, and our writer Connor has gone with a 2-2 draw. So running the gamut other than losses here, which you know, maybe that comes back to bite us. Hopefully not, obviously, because nobody here wants that. But yeah, let's beat the purple. We don't like purple at the very least, even if Louisville City isn't somebody that we, as Carlos said, somebody that we loathe all the time. We do loathe purple. So we'll leave it there. Carlos, yeah. Extra time. You have two bullet points here that are both very interesting, actually, and one that I wish I could get to, but it is too far away.
Yeah, I already mentioned MD and Ostrom on Team of the Week. That would have been a good extra time segment, but throw that in there. Shout out to them. Great game. Well-deserved. Second point, Stuart Dobson, absolute legend of this club that goes underappreciated and kind of quietly about goes about his work. Goalkeeper coach is approaching 400 games. I believe this weekend is 400th, if I understood it right. Listened to it was actually a report, Fox 13. Oh, gee, was it Fox 13? One of the local news outlets was out there at the Rowdies stadium talking about it, or at the Rowdies facility in Waters. Jeff Atnell also talked to him on the Rowdies podcast, which was a fun conversation as well. Just about his career and his time with the Rowdies. He's a really, really interesting guy. I'd love to get him on the pod at some point to kind of talk about his time with this club, because there's not many people that have been here as long as Stuart Dobson. Nobody on the coaching staff, nobody playing on the field, obviously, has gotten to 400 games for this team. The only people that have been here longer are like Ryan Helfrich himself, president of the club, right? So pretty cool. Congrats to him. He seems to love the team and love the work he does with the goalkeepers. And why not have him for another 400 or 500 games here? Let's get to 1,000 games with the Rowdies. Why not? He's already been here this long. Let's keep up the pace. So shout out to him. Great goalkeeper coach and absolute cornerstone of this club. Okay, other point I wanted to throw in here as well. USL League 2 finals coming up. Pretty fun. I always kind of throw in some stuff on League 2 and NPSL as I see it come up. Obviously, summer leagues designed mostly for college players looking for some extra soccer. In this case, the semifinals were Vermont Green versus Laredo Heat, and Flint City Bucks versus Ventura County Fusion.
Vermont Green also made the final on the USLW League side. I just wanted to put that out there. They lost mm-hmm. to Salmon Bay, though.
Mm-hmm. And Vermont Green on the men's side were national champs last year, I believe, yep. as well. So they won their semifinal matchup in Laredo against a pretty like good crowd. By the way, some of these playoff games have been getting fun crowds. So great to see for these like local communities supporting their League 2 clubs. So many stories like that of great turnouts and outside of kind of like bigger metropolitan areas. Vermont Green, unfortunately for Laredo and their home support, thrashed Laredo Heat and won 7-1. They're back in the final. And Flint City Bucks won 1-0 over Ventura County Fusion. And they'll be hosting Vermont Green in the championship game, which is on Saturday. So keep an eye out for that after you... Well, obviously prioritize the Rowdies because that's the only thing that matters in the world. But if you want to watch a little bit of the USL League 2 final, you can catch about half an hour at 7:30 before the Rowdies game kicks off at 8. So cool. Yeah, I just love the League 2. It's always fun. Keep an eye out on it. And I don't know, if you're watching the Rowdies game outside of the Tampa Bay area, go split screen if you want to watch some good quality soccer in League 2 as well. Okay, that's everything going on. That matters. This has been a fun pod, James. Great win against Miami. Big game coming up against Louisville. As Connor said in the comments, big month coming up this August. Let's start off on the right foot. Let's start strong with a big win against Louisville on Saturday. ESPN 2 at 8 p.m. But if you're in the area, you got to be there. Take your friends. Bring everybody you know. Ride the World Cup momentum. Take advantage of $3 beers and $1 hot dogs. Do the 999.
That doesn't get you in. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, do the 999 challenge if you want in soccer.
Our producer Eureka came up with another one. We'll put that up on social media because I forget what it was, but it was also pretty ridiculous.
Not a better time to do it. $3 beers and $1 hot dogs. It works. I wouldn't recommend going for like 9-9 in like 90 minutes. That's probably a bad idea. But if you really want, then you're an adult and you can make your own choices. thank you for listening. Follow us at RBLR Sports on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, anywhere you get your doom scrolling, we're there. Follow me if you want at CarlosGPA10 on Twitter and James at
RBLR James K.
There you go. Like and subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcast. YouTube, see our beautiful faces. Instagram, I did social media. That's not where you get podcasts. YouTube, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. Like, subscribe to it. Give us a comment if you want to. I think you can do that in a lot of those. Talk about how great James and I look in our little boxes. And more than anything, if you're listening to this, if you're listening to it live, you're a sicko. And if you're listening to this recorded, we love you. And you better be at the game on Saturday. Get out there. Support these boys. We're still in first place. This is one of the coolest stories in soccer in the U.S. right now, how quickly this team's turned around under Dominic Cacciato, how quickly these guys have gelled together. They're playing incredible soccer. It's exciting.
Scoring goals from halfway, folks. Come on.
Scoring goals from halfway. We're playing against a team that also scores a lot of goals. Hopefully they don't this weekend. But this weekend is an opportunity to be a really dramatic, high-scoring affair, hopefully in our favor. But you're going to get an exciting game regardless. Big month coming up. Start on the right foot. Get out there on Saturday. And let's have ourselves a time. James, for one more week of Tampa Bay Rowdy Soccer, come on, you Rowdies.
And one more win. Come on, you Rowdies.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.